I'd like for you to pray with me as we prepare our hearts for God's word today. We do this not as a ritual and not just as a empty habit, but something that in all earnestness, we know that we acknowledge that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and wisdom in receiving the word of God. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in this place, that your presence is here, Lord. Lord, not just that we would feel something and experience a touch, but God, that we would be forever changed. And today I ask you, Father, that through the word of God, that truth will be imparted into our lives. Lord, that we will receive truth and live it out and obey the word. I thank you, Father, for a great harvest from this seed of the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in a brief series just simply titled Friends. All of us need friends. Listen, there's going to be a time when you'll be glad that you had a friend that was close by. Read a story about a brunette who decided that she was going to try riding a horse. Didn't have any experience, no lessons of any kind. She just hopped on, and immediately the horse sprang into motion and immediately took off at a gallop. Well, the blonde began... I messed up the joke. Sorry. The brunette... That has never happened before. The brunette started sliding off the saddle, and she desperately tried to hang on. She wrapped her arms around the horse's neck, but it didn't do much good. She just kept sliding down until finally she slipped off, and her foot was caught in the stirrup, and there she is as the horse is galloping, and her head is hitting the ground, but... she had a friend close by, probably a blonde, who unplugged the horse. Oh, we all need friends at some time in our life. You will be glad that you had a friend close by. Well, last week, we talked about the necessity and the value of having real friendships, real relationships, and how important it is that we have the right kind of friends. When we do, we're stronger, we're more productive, we're more successful. Most of us could probably say, well, I could survive without close friends. But the truth is that you can thrive when you have the right kinds of friends. It's more than just survival. It's being all that God wants you to be and accomplishing all that God wants you to. And in the body of Christ, we need those kinds of friends who will encourage us. We talked about this, how that we need the kind of friends who will hold us accountable. And we need the kind of friends who will pray for us, how we need those kinds of friends. Last week, I mentioned this several times, but I want to focus on this morning. It's so important that we have the right kind of friends. Proverbs 12 and 26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." It's so clear in the New King James Version. I love it when the Word of God is just clear like that and very simple. Listen, you are not an exception to God's word. The principles of Scripture apply to every one of us. When it says the righteous, it's not talking about a select few. No, it's talking about the child of God. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you've been made righteous by faith. Amen. If you are a believer and you're serving God, this Scripture applies to you. It says the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. It's important the kind of friends that you choose. Choosing friends is kind of like choosing the direction that you're going when you come to a fork in the road. If you choose to go one direction, it will take you somewhere. If you choose the other direction, it will take you somewhere. And so it is with choosing friends. You choose one friend and it will take you in one direction in your life, and you choose another friend and it'll take you in a different direction. Sometimes, quite literally, you choose one friend or one group of friends And they're going to take you down a path towards some behavior, towards some activities that are not going to help you get closer to God. Well, let me just give you a personal testimony, all right? When I was a teenager, before I turned my life over to God, I had some friends, and if I went with them, well, they were probably going to take me to some place where a party where there was some drinking, or maybe to a bar or a nightclub somewhere, because that's the kind of friends they were. But then one day I met some different friends. They invited me to church, and they kept inviting me to church, and they seemed to care about me, and it was different, and my life took a different direction. And it's interesting to me just to consider how different my life would have been if I didn't make some new friends. And I'm just telling you that when you choose friends, you know, you need to realize it can be the difference in heaven and hell. It can be the difference in success and failure. It can be the difference in heartache and blessing. The kind of friends that you choose. And so this is what the scripture says. The righteous choose their friends carefully. To some degree, you know, friendships just kind of seem to happen. It's not always something that you plan out. But we need to realize that we can choose the types of friends that we're close to. See, casual friends, a lot of times, that just kind of happens as a result of circumstances. Like, you work together, or you're on the same ball team, or your kids are on the same ball team. And just by close proximity, sometimes you make friends with people. But those are casual friendships. And what I want you to understand this morning is when it comes to your close friends, that needs to be people, not that you're friends with by accident or by default, but people that you have chosen to be friends with. You have chosen your friends wisely, carefully, as the scripture said. Oh, we need the right friends. Listen, it's important who you hook up with, who you run with, who your companions in life are. Listen to this, Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. In the NIV, it says it this way, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, I'm telling you, this verse, it gives us a principle that even the world recognizes to a degree. The companion of fools will suffer harm. Whether you are a fool or not, if you hang out with a fool, it's going to bring trouble in your life. Now, here's what the Bible says a fool is. A fool is somebody who knows what is right. They know what they're supposed to do. They know the difference between right and wrong, but they just don't care. You can say to a fool, don't you know that what you're doing is going to bring trouble in your life? But they don't care. Somehow they think that they are an exception to the rules, or that it'll just all work out in the end somehow, or that maybe they just don't even care what the results are. But a fool is somebody that you try to tell them they're going the wrong way and they just won't listen. You know, you can show them the end result of the path they've chosen, but they won't change. You can give them more information. You know, you can say, well, that's bad for your health and that will hurt you physically, or that'll destroy your marriage, or you'll destroy your finances. But it's not like they're going to listen to what you say and say, oh, thank you. No, a fool will just continue on in the same direction no matter what. That's a fool. And if you have friends who are a fool, if you are the companion of fools, then you are going to suffer harm. You see, when their life blows up, you're going to catch some shrapnel. Even though you may not be doing what they're doing, as a companion of a fool, you're going to suffer harm. If you're in the car with somebody who's got drugs, you're going to be arrested and charged just like they are. If you're in the car with somebody who's drinking and driving, you have opened yourself up to suffer a great harm. If you date or marry a fool, you're headed for trouble. Now, don't be poking your spouse right now. This isn't the time for that. But you just need to understand how simple, how obvious this principle is in life. Listen, most of us had parents who knew this principle very well. In fact, in the average home here in America, you grew up, your parents constantly freaked out about who you were or weren't friends with. They were very particular about who you spent time with. I know there's some exceptions to this, but most of us, you know, we didn't have really cool parents who were like, yeah, you just go hang out with whoever, I don't care. And if you did, how sad. Because this principle is so obvious and so true that even the world acknowledges this. They know this, that your friends have a tremendous influence in your life. And even if you don't get involved in their stupid activities, when it blows up on them, a lot of the time it's going to blow up on you too. Listen, there are some of you, you're well aware, your parents moved because they cared that much about what school district you were in. In fact, there are some of you who are or were homeschooled because your parents were so concerned that you didn't hang out with the wrong kinds of friends and influences. I'm just telling you how powerful this principle is, and we are all well aware of it. I mean, even people who don't believe in God are very aware of this principle. That if you're young people, if your teenagers and children are constantly around the wrong kinds of friends, it's going to determine a negative outcome in their life. And we want our children, our teenagers, to have the right kinds of friends. And see, here's what I really want to get at. Now, young people, that's for you. It is. Some of you are thinking, quit encouraging my parents. Listen, your parents need to care about who you hang out with and who you date. The reason they care is because they don't want heartache and trouble for you. Now, here's where we got to turn the tables, though, mom and dad, the rest of us. Listen, us adults, you see, we all say, yeah, we see how that works for teenagers, but then somehow we think that we're an exception to the principles of God's Word because we're adults now. And I'm going to say this more than once. In fact, I just believe the Lord gave me this, and you're going to hear me say this many times, I think. When you think you're an exception, you are in a deception. Anytime you start thinking you're an exception to the Word of God, to the principles of God's Word, you've been deceived. And so it doesn't matter whether we're a teenager or we're middle-aged or a senior adult. Listen, the Word of God applies to us, and this is what the Word says. The companion of fools will suffer harm, that the righteous are to choose their friends wisely, carefully. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Another translation says, good morals. When you hang around with the wrong kind of company, the wrong kind of friends, it will corrupt your morals, your convictions. See, some of us think that we are strong and able to resist peer pressure. And a lot of the time, if peer pressure just comes in a very confrontational, blunt way, we're able to deal with it quickly. But you need to understand this. Your enemy, the devil, is a master of deception. And for most of you, if someone were to just right up front try to get you to do something stupid, you would just say no. But if you hang out with people who are doing stupid things and you spend enough time with them over a period of time, you will be influenced by them. Because let me tell you what the Scripture says. And notice how it starts. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits, good morals. You see, you may have this set of convictions and things that you live by, but if you hang out with people long enough that are doing other things and talking another way, eventually it's going to begin to influence your convictions. That's how Satan uses deception, just to try to slowly move you away from the truth until it changes the way you think about a particular situation or a particular activity or what's going on in your life. But understand this, friends influence. So we need to be careful about what kind of people we hook up with in a relationship. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. You know, one of the places where Jesus was called the friend of a sinner is when he went to Zacchaeus' house. Now, Jesus sees Zacchaeus, who's obviously, listen, has a hunger for something spiritual and wants something. He's climbed up in a tree just to see Jesus. And so when Jesus sees him and comes to him, he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to come to your house and eat today. And people said, this is wrong. That he would go to the house of a sinner, a tax collector. This is bad. But let me tell you what happened when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus says, Lord, I give back to those I've stolen from. Let me just read it, lest I mess it all up. It's good. He said, Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I just want to do away with this deception of the enemy where people think, well, you know, I got to be the friend of sinners. Yes, you do. You need to reach out to them. You need to minister to them. You need to share the gospel with them, and you need to get them saved. Jesus didn't go to Zacchaeus' house to hang out with the guys and have a few brews. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus went there to see this man's life totally changed. And if you're trying to be like Jesus, you make sure before you leave that you say, salvation has come to this house. All right, moving along. Listen, you see, sometimes we think as adults that we're beyond or that we're above the influence of friends. And I've seen it happen where a marriage is destroyed because one or both spouses has some ungodly friends. Sometimes it happens like this. Mama decides that, you know, she just likes to dance, and Daddy doesn't want to go out and dance, so she finds a few friends that she can go out and just have a good time dancing with. The problem is that over time, she just begins to disconnect a little bit, and her convictions are influenced over time. Maybe Daddy is going out after work with the guys, getting involved in some things that maybe he thought were wrong before, but because of the influence of his coworkers, now he's just kind of going along with the guys. And here's what happens, that over time, their convictions are changed, and over time, maybe they even get to the place where they no longer feel comfortable at church. And they say, you know, I think I feel more accepted down there at the bar than those hypocrites down there at the church. And I'll tell you what's happened is that over time, their convictions have been influenced by ungodly friends. And how sad it is when a Christian marriage is destroyed. Why is the divorce rate in the church almost as high as the divorce rate in the world? I'm telling you, one of the biggest factors is because of the influence of ungodly friends. And so we need to own up to this. We need to acknowledge and realize that we can't afford to be deceived and say it doesn't apply to us. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good values, good morals, good habits. Now, Jesus tells us exactly what a fool is, and he defines it for us in Matthew chapter 7 when he talks about the house that was built on the rock. Is the wise man who built his house on doing what Jesus said. He says the foolish man heard the words of Jesus, but he chose not to do them. He built his house on the sand, and when the storm comes, the wise man's life, his house, will stand. Understand this, storms come to all of us. Even the wise, even those who do the word of God. But when the storm came against the foolish man's house, it was destroyed. In Jesus' definition of who a foolish person is, it is the person who does not do the word of God. Doesn't matter how much they go to church, doesn't matter how much they heard, how much they know, they don't do the word of God. The wise man is the one who lives according to the word of God. Now, I want you to understand, it's very important the kinds of friends that you choose. The foolish are those who choose not to live according to the word of God. The wise are those who choose to obey the scriptures. If you're the companion of the wise, we read it in Proverbs, you will learn to be wise. If you hang out with people who obey the word of God, live by the word of God, you will learn to obey the word of God, live by the word of God. If you hang out with people who are foolish, who live contrary to the principles of God's word and just don't really obey God's word, they pick and choose when it's convenient for them or when they want to. I'm telling you, the companion of fools will suffer harm. Let me give you examples of how believers are influenced by their friends and it brings trouble. You know, there's nowhere more important than the home front. And I realize I already illustrated about the home front a little bit, but ladies, if you're hanging out with women who refuse to submit to their husbands, they have no respect for their husband, they just do what they want to do, and you know, they have that whole worldly mentality. Now, let me just say something to you here. You see, this is so prevalent in our society that it has just become the norm, even in the church, that women do not submit to their husbands. And if you hang out with women who don't submit to their husbands and they ridicule their husbands and say bad things about their husbands, I'm just telling you, it's going to be really hard for you to biblically submit to your husband when you're hanging out with those kind of people. Now, if you hang out with my wife, I'm just telling you, she's gonna tell you to submit to your husband, and you start talking the wrong way, she's gonna try to influence you back to submit to your husband. And listen, here's what the Bible says. Wives, it's Ephesians 5:22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. I realize that this is such an unpopular teaching that even a lot of preachers have figured out a way that we can finagle it around and tell women that you don't need to submit to your husbands. All I know is what the scripture plainly says, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I'm just telling you, this is how the enemy works, so subtly. But if you're hanging out with women who refuse to obey the word of God, it's having an influence on you. Now, guys, we don't get a pass on this. Listen, husbands, if you're hanging out with the guys and you say, I need to call my wife and make sure it's okay before we play another round of golf. And they say, you got to call your mommy? How old are you? I'm a man. I can do what I want. And before long, your attitude turns into, I don't have to call you. I can do what I want. I'm a grown man. Don't tell me that your friends don't influence you. Well, here's what the scripture says, 525, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You see, there's a reason that they say when you get married, two become one. Gentlemen, it is because your life is over. Two become one because you are going to give your life for her. You're to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Listen, you can forget this lie, this garbage about, well, I'm a man, I can do whatever I want. Not if you're going to be a true believer. Not if Jesus is your Lord. No, you're going to obey the scripture. And I'm telling you that so much of the time we're under this influence of ungodly friends and we don't even realize how much trouble it's bringing in our life and how much deception is going on in our life. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Well, young people, if your friends are always sneaking around behind their parents' back, talking about how their parents are stupid, parents trying to pick my friends for me, tell me who I can and can't date, and you hang out with those kinds of friends and you choose those kinds of friends as your close friends, let me tell you, it's not going to go well for you and you may not even live long. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I'm just telling you, you need friends that honor their mother and father. What an exception. You know, I've talked about three things right here, straight from the Word of God, that are so rare in our society today. And just a blatant example of how even believers many times choose not to live according to the Word of God. And a lot of it has to do with the people that we hang out with, the friends that we've chosen to do life with. And I just want to encourage you. It is such a powerful influence. So you got to choose your friends carefully. Let's talk about the right kinds of friends. You know, I mentioned three things at the very beginning of this message. I just want to touch on again. I talked about them last week, so I'm not going to go into detail. But I just want to say the right kinds of friends, they're the friends that will encourage you in the Lord. They're the friends who will hold you accountable. I mean, when you start going the wrong direction, they're going to be there to say, hey, what's going on here? We need the kind of friends that will pray for us. But I want to add to that this morning and talk about the kind of friends we need. Well, we've been talking about the foolish and the wise, so obviously we need wise friends. And what are wise friends? Listen, it's not necessarily the one with a lot of degrees or that made the best grades. Not necessarily. Listen, the wise are those who choose to live according to the Word of God. I'm going by Jesus' definition this morning. Those who live by God's Word, those are the wise people. And I'm telling you, we need that kind of influence, that kind of friend in our life, people that are living by God's Word. I want to clarify, just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean they're wise. Now, church is probably the best place to find somebody who's a wise friend. Because what is wise? Somebody that obeys the Word of God. And by the way, if they don't go to church, well, they're not obeying the Word of God, because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And you're in disobedience to God's Word if you don't go to church. So, you know, I'm not saying they don't not a Christian or they don't love God. I'm saying they're disobeying the Word of God. And if you're going to find some wise friends, well, the best place is at church. But even at church, just because they go to church doesn't mean that they're wise. I want to say to the young ladies, just because he goes to church doesn't mean he's not a fool. And you need to be wise. Ask your dad. Now, see, we laugh about that. But the truth is, we would save a whole lot of young ladies and young men both a whole lot of heartache if they would go and ask their dad. When I was 20 years old, I was dating a girl. She told me it was God's will for us to get married. I just could never get a peace about it. I felt so bad about breaking off the relationship, but I couldn't get a peace about marrying her. At 20 years old, I walked out in the yard where my dad was watering his oak trees, and I said, "Dad, what do you think about this relationship?" He said, "I think you need to break up with her." I cried, but I did it. Just a few months later, I met Carmen. And I share that because I hope some of you young people will be smart enough to realize that if anybody in this world has your best interest at heart, it's probably your parents. By the way, when Carmen was 21 years old and I called and asked her for our first date, she said, "Hold on a minute, let me go ask my dad." Well, that's just silly. That's just stupid. Yeah, ask your 15-year-old friend for advice. Whatever. How we need, and while I'm on the issue, let me just go ahead and say this. You see, we need to blur the lines here on this generation gap. We have children's ministry and we have youth ministry because we believe it's important to communicate the Word of God in such a way that they understand it's relevant, that it's applied to their situations and issues in life. But at the same time, we as a body need to understand that between old and young, there is no gap. That's part of the deception of the enemy, to keep the baton of spiritual truth and wisdom and understanding from being passed to the next generation. And it's so important, young people, you need some older friends, some spiritually mature friends who've already made those stupid mistakes, or maybe they managed to avoid them, but you can learn and not have to make those mistakes yourself. But we got to be willing to not do things the way the world does. I'm just saying, listen, we need spiritual friends. That sounds almost too simple to say it that way, but there's just not a better way to say it. We need spiritual friends, people who are moving in the same direction that we are. They don't have to be at the same spiritual level. They might be a brand new Christian, and maybe you've been serving the Lord for 40 years. But they need to be spiritual people, people who are going after God, people who are growing in the Lord, who want more of God, moving in the same direction. Why would you hook up with and get involved with somebody who doesn't really love Jesus, or who's not sincere about following the Lord? See, there's a lot of lukewarm, backslidden Christians. I'm going to encourage you straight up this morning. You need to be wise and careful about having close friends who are just playing church. But hook up with some people who are sincere in their faith and growing in the Lord, people who are going the same direction. Well, here's what the Bible says about it, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" He's saying you don't have anything in common. You don't have anything in common. Now, let me just stop here and say this. You see, a lot of times we form friendships with people because we have some similar interests. We think we have some things in common. Well, you know, we both like to hunt, or we like to fish, or, you know, we both like this. Listen, let me just say something to you. That's a very shallow basis for a friendship. That's a casual friendship. And I can tell you that my best friends over the years have been people that in natural things I had little in common with. Sometimes they weren't my age. They didn't like the same things I like. We didn't do the same things, except when it came to the things of God, we were both heading in the same direction. And I'm just telling you that When you're talking about close friends, there's what the scripture says. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now notice this. He says, come out from among them and be separate. He's not talking about us moving into a monastery and being monks and separating ourselves out from everybody where we never talk to anybody else. He's not talking about living on a compound and some weird stuff. He's talking about that we are not partakers with them. We're not going with them and doing the things that they do. Our best friends, our close friends are not unbelievers. Yes, we want to reach them. Yes, we have to take the gospel to them. But our close friends, those that we do life with, that we allow to speak into our life. No, we've chosen spiritual people to be our close friends. I want to say this one more time. When Jesus ate with sinners, he ministered to them. He didn't just go to hang out. He went to minister. Some of you have some ungodly friends. You need to make new friends. You got some friends that are fools. And before it blows up on you, you need to make some new friends. Now, some of you, you've been serving the Lord a long time, and maybe you have some spiritual friends. In fact, I've seen this sometimes in the body of Christ where it seems that people's only real friends, it seems to be the same little group of people or even just their family or and a few other people, just a handful of people that they're close friends with, and it hadn't changed for 40 years. And I just want to say, sometimes you need some new friends to help you grow spiritually. See, there's some believers that are like a 20-year-old oak tree that's in a 5-gallon bucket. You need to grow. That's your root bound. You are unhealthy. You need to expand a little bit. You need some new friends that can speak into your life. And guess what? It's amazing what God can do in your life when you're being used to minister to some other people. And what I'm saying to you is this word is for all of us this morning. In one way or another, all of us need to take this word this morning and realize God wants to do something in our life through our friends and how God can work in those relationships. So the right kind of friends, listen, they bring out the best in you. They help you fulfill your God-given destiny. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And I'm telling you, the right kind of friend will help you be more than you are, help you grow. I heard Ben Franklin, he formed a support group of brilliant people. He had a real original name for it. He called it My Most Ingenious Friends. And this group got together, they would write papers and discuss them and help each other with their careers and goals. They met every Friday night for 40 years. Now, Franklin was accomplishing things in his 80s and 90s. Why? Because he had this support group, a group of friends. Here's another similar story. Thomas Edison had a support group called My Mastermind Alliance. Sound like, you know, we're going to rule the world kind of stuff. But anyway, he put people with similar life mission together. And this group, for 6 years, they met together. They came up with over 300 patents. Every 6 months, they had a major invention. Why? Because they hooked up with some wise people, some people that would help each other accomplish their goals and achieve their dreams. And I'm just telling you, a real friend will help you get there. Don't hook up with a loser friend who's going to drag you down, telling you can't do this and you can't do that. You need to hook up with some people that are going somewhere and that will tell you you can achieve all that God has put in your heart. The right friends will tell you the truth. We talked about this one briefly last week, but I want to read Proverbs 27 and 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, some people will just tell you what you want to hear. The right friends They may make you mad sometimes. It may upset you a little bit. But they have your best interest at heart, and they will tell you the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They don't tell you to hurt you. See, some people are just religious and mean. I'm not talking about that. No, they'll tell you because they love you and they want to help you. The right friends are friends that you can trust. This is one of the things that just kind of tops the list for me for friends. I'll be a friend to anybody, but as far as my close friends, I got to be able to trust them. I got to know that they're not two-faced, that they're not going to talk about me behind my back. They're not going to betray me. They're going to stand with me. It's really, really important to me. But Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is faithful, of a faithful spirit, conceals a matter. The NIV, it says it this way, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. They did a survey of 40,000 Americans, and the quality that most valued in a friend is the ability to keep a confidence. So I guess I'm not alone in that. But do you have a friend that you have total confidence in, that you can tell anything to and know that it won't go anywhere? See, we need that kind of friendship. A real friend, the right kind of friend, is somebody that you can trust. George Eliot wrote this, oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person and having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but to pour them all out just as they are, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand will take and sift them, keep what is worth keeping, and then with the breath of kindness blow the rest away. We need a friend like that, that we can just pour our heart out to. And we know that we can talk to them in confidence. And we know that they'll be there for us. Because a friend, the right kind of friend, loves you. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. Now, I think it's important to understand when it says loves, that means that they're not in it just for what they can get out of it. No, if a friend loves you, they're for you. They want the very best for you. But at all times, even in the bad times, in the hard times, they're going to stand with you, love you just the same. A friend that leaves when things get tough isn't much of a friend. I read this story about Coach Pepper Rogers, who coached at UCLA in the 70s and had a terrible season one year. And he said even his friends seemed to bail on him, just walk away. And as he reflected on that year, he said, he told his wife one day, he says, my only true friend is my dog. He said, every man ought to have at least two friends. And she bought him another dog. So, but you know, it is that way sometimes in life. You find out who your real friends are. In fact, I'm not encouraging you to do this, but I'm just telling you, you know, when you make a mistake, when you mess up, a lot of times that's when you find who your friends are. Because a friend will love you at all times. But some people are just friends with you for what they can get out of it. Now, I just want to encourage you today. Your friends have such a great impact and influence in your life. It's important to choose your friends carefully. Now, a lot of times when we hear the Word of God, it's easy for us to not really follow through because it's not real specific about how we can do that. But I'm telling you this morning that you need to prayerfully consider your friends and consider making some new friends. And I hope that you will make an effort to make new friends. And next week we're going to talk about how to do that. But this morning I'm also going to tell you that here at the end of our service today, you have a great opportunity to make some new friends. And I believe you'll make some of the right kind of friends. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. And as you go out in the foyer, our growth group leaders are going to be out there. And you have the opportunity to sign up for a growth group. As I said, you can sign up next week or even later. But I just want you to consider this, and I encourage you and challenge you to take advantage of this opportunity to connect with some spiritual people, to get to know. Now, you could go to a growth group and you could make the wrong kind of friend at a growth group, right? There might be somebody there for the wrong reason, but I'm just telling you, this is a great opportunity for you to make some new friends, some spiritual friends, people that are going the same direction you are, that want to grow in the Lord together, and I just encourage you to do that. Listen, church is much more. In fact, I have to say this morning, that church is more than what we're doing right now. See? Church is more than just coming together once a week. Church is more than an audience. Church is a body. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him, which filleth all in all. That's what the scripture says. The church, which is his body. See, the church is us. We talk about church like it's an event or a building. And I'm not being critical of that. I understand. We say, you know, I'll see you at the church, and we're talking about the building. But we need to know that when we say church, we're really talking about us. And it's a body. And it says we are members one of another. What does that mean? That means that we're members of the same body. We're parts of the same body. We're supposed to be connected. This is something that's really been lost in the American church today, and how we need those kinds of relationships and godly friendships. And so I'm just challenging you to really obey the Word of God by finding some new friends. And for many of you, this will help you if you'll get involved in a growth group. So stand with me, and I'm going to pray over you. And as we dismiss this morning, if you come to this service and you need prayer, I just invite you to come. I will meet you here at the front to pray with you. But otherwise, you are dismissed at the end of this prayer. Father, I just thank you for the word we've heard today. Lord, that you are speaking to our hearts and lives. Father, I believe that this really matters. It makes a difference. And I ask you, Father, that this seed of the word would not be forgotten or snatched away or choked out, Lord, but that it will bring forth a great harvest. I pray, Father, that you help us to find the friends that we need in our life. Help us, Lord, to be that friend to somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.